This podcast is part of the No Phony Podcast Network, the home of independent awesomeness.
I don't know. It's a heated conversation right now. I said to myself, one-on-one, I'd be okay. Six against one, I might get my ass kicked.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. Joining me, as always, James Morgani.
That's right.
Joining us today is wrestling expert Sam Cavallari, and our special guest today, actor and former professional wrestler Vito LaGrasso. How you doing, man?
Pieces, man. Pieces. Hello to everybody. And as you know, it's the BIGV from the LOG. Let's get the show on the road, fellas.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about your career, man. How did you get your start in wrestling?
I'm more interested in how did you guys get your start in podcasting. That seems to be the ticket right here.
Well, I just want to talk about, you know, basically overthrowing this quarantine, working out however you can. You work out. I'm trying not to be just destroyed and imprisoned in this house here. I got to get out. You know, I took my shirt off yesterday, started running around and doing stuff outside, getting a tan. Just something to do while we're in quarantine, you know?
Nah, it's kind of tough. But, you know, I'll answer the first question, then we'll get to the quarantine thing and working out. I started wrestling in 1990. I debuted on WWF in 1991. I worked my way up. I went to all the territories from Santo Domingo to Memphis to Puerto Rico. You know, and finally getting a break in ECW, the WCW. I went to the XWF. I went to Germany. I've been to Japan. I've told the world. Then finally I got my break in the WWE. Then afterwards I went back overseas, back to Japan, back to the NWE. And then I did the independence before retiring. So, I mean, and if you look on my Wikipedia, you'll see, you know, all the stops I made, everything I've accomplished in wrestling was definitely a great, great thing to do. You know, and people today, they always appreciate my hard work, and I greatly appreciate it. And when you look at today's wrestling, you look at the yesterday's wrestling, I think a lot of people like yesterday's wrestling better than today's wrestling.
Yeah, for sure.
So now, what do we do to keep in shape? I have been working out in my garage. I have been running outside. I have been leaned out so much that my workouts in the garage have been so good. I don't think I'm going back to the gym because I'm looking better working out in the garage and doing this than in the gym.
I've been doing a towel. I don't have weights, many weights anyway. So I've been doing a towel self-resistant workout. So you pull with one hand and push with the other.
Why didn't you incorporate? You look like an educated, smart college guy. I'm going to tell you from the streets. Why didn't you get the 2 gallons of of water? They're 8 pounds each. Use them as weights. That's what I was using at first.
Yeah, or soda six packs, stuff like that. It's weird because it's when you work out in a different area, you grow in different areas, right? So my wrists now are getting stronger because I'm doing so much towel, just the twisting and like the fasting that you have to do,
right?
And my wrist strength is up.
That means if I seen you in a club and you were the bouncer, as soon as you put your hand on my shoulder, I know not to mess with you.
Exactly.
All right, I got it.
My mind. So you in Wiki, you said that in Wikipedia, if we check you out, that's basically all true there, right?
I hope so. Okay. Now, wrestling-wise, yes. And movie stuff, yes. Some people go on and they put some nonsense on there, but mostly I think that's 99% on.
Okay, because I always have debates with people. I'm like, oh, well, Wikipedia. And they're like, you're going to use Wikipedia? I think Sam said that when we were arguing about, I forget what it was. And can we use it or can't we? I'm just trying to use Wiki. It's fast. I want to see, is it generally true? So thank you for clarifying that some of it is true.
You see, I'm one of the few people who do go on there and I check my own Wikipedia just to make sure nonsense is not on there. Because people put some stupid things on there and you're like, all right, and clean it up. But for the most part, it is pretty accurate.
Sweet.
Just like my IMDb, like you watch all the stuff I've been on, like movies and all that stuff, it's accurate. You know, and people who care about the perception you have of social media, you take the time to clear things up. If you're not, then whatever it is.
Right. Good, Sam.
Vito, tell us a little bit about, I got to ask you about ECW. What ECW is like?
ECW had its own cult following, had its own culture before a culture became the word of today. We were a tight family, you know, and we're a motivated group of people who love to wrestle for Paul Lee, because Paul Lee was a great motivator. And you had a lot of great talents that became stars in WCW and the WWE and TNA. So when you talk about, you know, I'm not calling it a farm system, but where did the stars develop and got their first taste of TV for most people? Look to ECW. I was lucky enough to go to the territories like Memphis and Santo Domingo and Puerto Rico and work in front of a camera. Some guys don't have those, you know, have those luxuries, but ECW gave you a chance to be on TV and showcase your talents and work with some of the best talent in the world.
Have you been watching any of the Dark Side of the Rings?
I actually watched the Legion of Doom because I was friends with Animal and Hulk on a personal level. And I thought it was very well done. I thought it was good.
Oh, that's awesome. You were on the road with them. Where'd you first meet them?
At my first TV taping for the WWF in 1991. As you know, I was Skull Von Crush. I my first TV taping, and who's there? Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Legion of Doom, everybody who was anybody back then, from the British Bulldog to the Boss Man to Akeem to everybody who was when we all used to believe in wrestling. So, I mean, that's where I first met them. And then I became friends with them. And then when I went to WCW and doing some independent shows along the way, and then doing that in WCW and then going to Japan with them, and we did a lot of tours of Japan together.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. I've been really watching a lot of Dark Side of the Ring, even though it's stuff I may have known or not known about it. I think the shows have been super interesting. I didn't know. Did you see the one at all on New Jack from ECW?
I heard a bunch of stuff about it. And, you know, me personally, when it comes to wrestling stories, you know, I kind of like stay away from it because I lived it. And some of the stuff, you know, you take to heart, and some of the stuff, like, you know, is a little fabricated. You know, and for that particular one, I've seen clips of it. You know, some of it's good, some of it's a lot of it is true, because obviously you go to the videotape and it's actually him doing some of the stuff. You know, and like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing, but from what I understand, it was a very good documentary piece, and it covered him, gave him some notoriety. Not that he needed it anymore, but you know what I mean. But I think it might have cleared up some things for people, and if it gives you some insight on who he is as a person and stuff like that, that's great.
It always seems like during those documentaries, the boys' side of the story, they're always trying to not so much protect, but they don't want to give too much away of the actual stories that go on.
You ever hear the story, what happens with the boys stays with the boys?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like kind of like one of those things. You're just like a college fraternity, and like whatever happens in house stays in house.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, guys, I know everybody, I know you guys probably have some good stories of yourselves and like what you do, what you portray. But some of it, you know, maybe it's not for the public and you just want to keep private, you know. Same thing in the wrestling business. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Same kind of concept.
Yeah, I actually trained. I was a pro wrestler for 2 years right out of high school. I trained with Bad Crew. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you remember those guys.
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Paul and Jake and Paul up in Allentown. So yeah, I know that saying very well.
You know, guys, and like a lot of people have, like you talk about on the independent scene when I first started out, everybody had this perception because nobody ever opened up the book of Vito La Russa. You know, how did I come across? I was a street guy from Staten Island. I was tough. I was a kick-ass wrestler. I could stretch you if I wanted to. And people, a lot of people feared me, right? But when they used to sit down with me and have a conversation and open the book and talk to me, man, you're pretty cool. I says, yeah, nobody just takes the time to get to know me. Everybody looks from outside. They look in and they say, all right, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Can't always do that.
Sure.
All right, my question is totally irrelevant. Do you find when, because I travel a lot, I'm a musician. I was living out in Texas for a few years, in Austin, Texas. And a lot of them think they're like, oh, you sound so East Coast. Like I'm this, well, I mean, I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania, but like I'm this Jersey Shore, like douchebag coming over here. Hey, where are you, bro? But my accent isn't actually that good. Now, do you find when you go out like in the Midwest and that area, that girls like your accent because it's like it's Italian, it's Staten Island, you know, great pasta. What's Vincenzo? Is it Vincenzo's? I used to sell pasta. I want to say Vincenzo's in Staten Island. I was there for one customer one time. Do you find that though when you're out west?
Well, it's like everything else. If there are a bunch of brunettes in the house, and then a blonde walks in. What are you going to do? I want to try a different flavor. So you're all right.
I guess. God,
I mean, really, when you think about it, you know, I mean, it's something different, and I never seen it. It's only seen on TV, right. So it makes it appealing. It's just like a Southern girl, right? Now, you hear about Southern girls. They're sweet. They're kind. You like their accent, and you're like from Staten Island where it's like, yeah, you know, and they got that roughness. Then you go down south, and you're like, yeah, this is the kind of girl I got to marry. Not that – New York.
Exactly. Oh, they're so sweet. They grow them different in Texas. I'm telling you.
So, Vito, I wanted to ask you, with the when you were doing the dress gimmick in WWF, might have been that, like, who came up with that? Like, what was the backstory on that?
It was Stephanie and Vince McMahon who came up to me. They said, we have something for you. And they were looking to put me in something to give me something different, to do something away from Nunzio. They said, you think you could wrestle in a dress? I said, yes. So me being me, and I was old school, I said, if you're going to do it, you know, travel in a dress, make the people believe. And I was believable. Did I wear dresses or do anything like that? I just knew how to work. And I figured it out on the fly. Then walking around out in public, I said to myself, one-on-one, I'll be okay. Six against one, I might get my ass kicked. I'll take a couple down. But I was probably the most recognizable pro athlete in sports that year because anybody who's seen me, there's the wrestler, there's Vito. They all knew. So was it a positive thing? Yes. Did it give you a different insight on how people of that culture live? Absolutely. Did it open up a world to me that I didn't know as far as dealing with people and how they felt? 100%. And you know, a lot of people, they thank me. They says, you know, I wish I could be like you. I said, what do you mean? Just to have the guts and the courage to come out and do that, because I couldn't do that in real life. I couldn't go in my yard and do that or do gardening in a dress or do different things. And then even like some people, like women who were abused, they said, man, I applaud you. I said, why is that, ma'am? I said, because you have no idea what it's like to be a female in a dress, to get beat up by a man. And it was just an eye-opening experience where people open up to you. And it was probably the most happiest time I ever had in wrestling, because I got a chance to smile and be my happy personality. And for years, everybody seen me as this ruthless killer and just don't go near me, to being this lovable guy who everybody wanted to be there and just talk to, sit in the pool with, talk to, have a beer, have a drink, and get to know. So, I mean, it was pretty cool.
I was going to say, follow up on that. Like, how does that, like, go down? Do you get, like, a call, like from an agent or something? Like, hey, Vince has something for you. He wants to talk over with you. Like, how does that work?
Came from the man himself at TV.
Just came right up to you and was like, here's what I'm thinking.
They pulled me on the side, and then this is what they told me. You know, so I mean, the only thing that sucked is I had to supply myself with my own dresses, and then so it got kind of expensive because I liked all the rich looking dresses, right? So at the end of the day, when they told me it was over, I was upset. I said, Vince, I said, I work so hard. I said, it's just time change. Give me. He said, we'll do anything you want. You know, you'll have your chance again. And I thank you for doing this. I said, okay. So when I went home, I went in my closet. I was like, okay. I went like this, right? And I looked on the other side of the closet. I said, shit, I don't have any guy clothes. So I got clothes. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And then when I used to invite chicks to my place, man, these dresses are beautiful. Don't touch my shit, all right? Leave my stuff alone.
They probably couldn't fit in them either.
But I was a size 14 or 12. I think the biggest was a 16. So like, but I got myself in dress shape, you know, like it was like, you know how many miles I ran just to get down to looking good in a dress. And women actually got hot at me because I looked better than some of them in a dress.
Your calves are big, you know what I mean? Wearing the heels and everything.
Just the whole aura of it was, you know, they were like, man. And then, you know, of course, if a woman is not shapely or she's not kept or whatever, they even got more hot. So, but it was definitely an eye-opening experience for inside of you as a human being. That's for sure.
So what do you like to do free time? Okay, you're done. You're done wrestling. You finish. I'm off for you have 2 weeks off or whatever, something, or a week off. And the first thing that's on your mind, where are you headed? What are you doing?
I have this penthouse of a condo, and I went like 10 feet and I was in the pool. So there was a pool. Then, you know, you go to the gym, you take any time, you might go to World of Beer, you might go grab something to eat. And you're relaxing, you know what I mean? You're enjoying your house that you work for. But I think pretty much you just enjoy being home because you're not used to it.
World of Beer in Manhattan. In
World
Times
of Beer
Square.
In Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay. I forgot they had one. Okay.
So you're talking about in Tampa, Florida, where I used to live in West Chase, right? We had like a little Soho. So you had the gym across the street. You had your World of Beer, you had the sushi place, you had an Italian place, you had your Mexican food, you had everything you could want. So you lived in your little Soho, you really didn't have to go in. And then there was a blues club right up the street from me. So at night, I used to go out to the Blue Martini, then on the way home, I used to go to the Blue Moon, you know, listen to some jazz and just go down the street and go home. So it was a great concept for living.
Nice. So for the bros out there, you would work out. Let's say you're on vacation for however long you go away somewhere. You're on vacation. You work out on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Not soy boys. I don't want to. I mean, hey, if you want to drink soy and lower your testosterone, that's cool. But my friends were always saying, why are you working out? You're on vacation. I'm like, do you think this comes overnight? Okay. Like you have to.
Hold on, Jim. You're acting. I've seen Vito and I've seen you and you don't look alike. Is he lifting something else that you are? You know?
I don't know. It's a heated conversation right now. But what I could tell you is like before I did this, I worked out today early because I knew I had. Like, I started this at 3 o'clock, guys. So, like, from 3 o'clock and I'm on this one. So, then I schedule all my podcasting and interviews on Sunday, right? So, I said, okay, let me get up today. I go do my workout. I go to the pool for about an hour, 15 minutes, get some sun, you know, relax. And I try to do that same routine every day where I hit the pool, grab some sun, workout. You know, for me, it works. You know what I mean? When I go on vacation, whether I went on a cruise or I go somewhere, I bring my gym clothes. If they have a gym and I could do something, something is better than nothing, you know. But I still like to enjoy myself. But it's part of your routine. It's part of like shaving or combing your hair or brushing your teeth.
Exactly.
You know, when you're used to it, you're just used to it.
And it also it makes you enjoy in a way your vacation better because once you're so active, not that I'm in incredible shape, but I like being active. I love working out and like. once you do that, it makes you enjoy the day better mentally and physically. I would feel
you got your stuff in. You got your thing in. You did what you wanted to do. So now, you know, like I tell, like a lot of guys don't figure this out. And this is the best advice I can give to people. I've been saying this for years. It's 24 hours in a day. Okay? Take 2 hours for yourself. The other 22 hours, your wife, your mom, your kids, the in-laws, and everybody else can have the rest of the 22 hours. And Vito LaGrasso needs his 2 hours to get his mind straight so he could tackle the rest of the day and be whatever you want me to be. But I just want to be me for 2 hours. That's it.
That's a great – I was just going to ask you what is something that the listeners and viewers could have to put in their pocket. My dad's Italian. He always told me – he's from Ascoli. He always said, I want to give you something to put in your pocket and pull out. I was just going to ask you for that, and you just answered it right away.
But and you know, my father used to say, they'll have that same thing. Let me tell you something, right? Let me tell you something, okay? Remember this here. You must have learned that when he got off the boat. Remember this here, okay? So you listen to these things, and they tell you things. And, you know, guys, you're going to laugh, but I tell everybody getting married, right? I said, guys, you know, congratulations. I hope everything works out. Do you have a just-in-case fund? They said, you need about $2,000. Because it's just in case fund. It's just in case fund. Just in case you got to get the hell out. You have first and last month's rent, and you got money for a mattress.
There you go. That's great.
There it is, man.
Put that one in your pocket.
Yeah.
Well, Vito, I know you have another interview coming up here very soon. So why don't you tell everyone where they can find all your – I know you have your own podcast.
Yes, sir. I have the Big Vito Brand at twitch.tv, the Big Vito Brand. And the Big Vito Brand, where you listen to all the podcasts, you know, whether you go to Twitter, whether you go to Facebook, we're on Apple Radio. We got it all. Just go to the website, you know, the Big Vito Brand. You'll catch everything there. And, guys, thank you very much for having me on the show. If you guys ever want to have me on again, just contact, you know, the head of the family. She'll be able to put something together for you. And whatever questions you have, you know, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Peace out.
Thank you.